So these questions regarding adrenal cortical enzymes and how they relate to aldosterone, cortisol, and their precursors, extremely annoying for everybody involved. I'd like to just say in a theoretical sense, oh, don't worry, kind of lowish yield, won't show up on your exam. I've gone through all of the NBME material. I do this frequently with students. These questions regarding 11, 21, 17 hydroxylase deficiencies show up everywhere for endocrine for step one. So exceedingly high yield, okay? It's not my opinion of what it should be. It's what actually shows up on the NBMEs that determines what's high yield. So this stuff shows up everywhere. So we have to cover 17, 21, 11 hydroxylase deficiencies, how we differentiate. Now, I'm not going to give you a 90-minute superfluous oral presentation. When you see these questions and you immediately freeze and you say, no fucking idea, what I'm going to do right now is give you the concise factoids you need to know. So you can look at the question and just say, okay, cool. Even though I feel iffy about this stuff, I know what the answer is because I know the important factoids. So I should note that I did not write the normal ranges for the electrolytes here. Some of the NBME exams won't do that. By all means, you'll have the lab values available to you on the exam, but the training wheels have to come off. So sodium is at 140, that's normal. The normal range is 135 to 145 milliequivalents per liter. Potassium 6.4, the normal range is 3.5 to 5 milliequivalents per liter. Bicarb here, 18, it's low. Normal range 22 to 28 milliequivalents per liter. Glucose is low at 50. Normal range is 72 to 99 fasting milligrams per deciliter. 100 to 125 is impaired fasting glucose. 126 and above on two separate occasions is diabetes. And then, of course, our 17-hydroxyprogesterone is elevated. So, for starters, we can eliminate 17-hydroxylase deficiency. It's impossible to have elevated 17-hydroxyprogesterone if we have a deficiency of that enzyme, because that is the enzyme that is converting progesterone into 17-hydroxyprogesterone, and likewise pregnenolone into 17-hydroxypregnenolone. So we can eliminate that right away. The other thing to note is if we have a deficiency of 17, we are going to have an increase in aldosterone production, which would cause potassium wasting. 17-hydroxylase deficiency is the only enzyme here. This is like one of the factoids you need to know. It's the only enzyme deficiency that will result in low potassium, okay, because of wasting through aldosterone. So if you just see one of these questions and immediately you're just like, no fucking idea what I'm looking at, but you see potassium's low, then that's a good indicator that it's 17-hydroxylase deficiency. And of course, you would not have elevated 17-hydroxy substrates. Now, when we look at 21 and 11 hydroxylase deficiencies, both of these conditions are associated with increased 17-hydroxy substrates. So that in and of itself does not help us differentiate. Likewise, which I did not mention in this question, but very important to bring up, is DHEAS, dihydroepiandrosterone sulfate, which is the adrenal-specific androgen produced in the zona reticularis. DHEAS will be elevated in both 21 and 11 hydroxylase deficiencies. So, if you get a question where they say DHEAS is up, it's the equivalent of seeing that 17-hydroxy substrates is up. It tells us that we have either a 21 or 11 hydroxylase deficiency, and it also tells us that we do not have a 17-hydroxylase deficiency. So, when we want to differentiate 21 versus 11, the easy way to do it is that 21 deficiency, 21 hydroxylase, because that enzyme is more upstream than 11, a deficiency of 21 is akin to literally having no mineralocorticoid or glucocorticoid whatsoever. Whereas in 11, you can still get a little bit of the effect. So with 21 deficiency, here's the second factoid you need to know is that our potassium will be elevated and our bicarb is going to be low. And our glucose is low. That combination is only seen in 21 deficiency because we literally have no mineralocorticoid or glucocorticoid effect. Okay, so the high potassium and the low bicarb, that's from deficiency of mineralocorticoid. The low glucose, that's due to deficiency of glucocorticoid. However, in 21 deficiency, we still get production of the aldosterone precursor 11-deoxycorticosterone. That can function weakly to secrete potassium distally in the kidney, preventing the hyperkalemia and it can get rid of protons distally in the kidney, preventing our metabolic acidosis and our low bicarb. And then likewise, 11-hydroxylase deficiency, we can still get the production of 11-deoxycortisol, which, although not as strong as cortisol, it can still act as a weak glucocorticoid and prevent hypoglycemia. Another way to differentiate 21 versus 11 is blood pressure, where in 21, our blood pressure is either going to be low or low normal, whereas in 11-hydroxylase deficiency, our blood pressure is often elevated. So this is how we distinguish these two. Don't pigeonhole where you need to see absolutely every variable perfect in order to make your assessment, but you can kind of take the broader picture and just say, okay, well, 21 is going to be much more severe than 11 deficiency, and 21's the condition where I see a high potassium, a low bicarb, and a low glucose, and I would see a low or low normal blood pressure. Whereas in 11 deficiency, I see an elevated blood pressure, and our potassium, our bicarb, and our glucose can be in the normal range. Okay, that's it.